Well, let's pray. Father, we come before you and we ask you, Holy Spirit, to just come and touch our hearts even now. Lord, just show us the things that are on your heart, and we bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Well, today we want to talk a little bit about our intentional desire to see friendships strengthened and promoted and multiplied in our midst. So we're going to talk a little bit about our friendship groups, but really that's just a conduit, that's just an expression of a greater value that the Holy Spirit is emphasizing in our midst right now. You know, one of the deepest needs and desires that God created in the human heart was the longing for friendship. I mean, God the Father actually designed that in every single human heart. And the reason he did that, because it's a reflection of his own heart. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have dwelt together in enjoyable friendship from eternity past. And so when God created human beings in his image, he put this longing and this deep desire for friendship in us. Now, the downside of that is that people that don't have meaningful friendships, loneliness brings great pain, and it's actually very destructive because we were not created for loneliness. I mean, we are created to have times to be alone, but not to live in this profound sense of loneliness that many human beings experience. I mean, it was God who said, it is not good for man to be alone. Of course, he was saying that in context to Adam and Eve in their marriage, but he was speaking of a truth bigger than just marriage. He was giving an insight about the makeup of the human heart and the way the human heart is satisfied and the way the human heart is brought to a place of safety. Now, it was Henry David Thoreau who made the famous statement that most men live lives of quiet desperation. I want to say that again. Most of you have heard that quote over the years. Most men live lives of quiet desperation. That they're engaged in whatever they're engaged in, but at the heart level, they are desperate and lonely on the inside. You know, it's not surprising that Jesus connected evangelism of the lost, winning the loss, to something as simple yet as profound as friendship. It was in John chapter 13, verse 35. We know the passage well. John 13, verse 35. Jesus said that all men will know you are my disciples. They will know that my leadership is in your life. They'll know I'm real and I'm real in you if you love one another. Now, we know that verse, and sometimes we'll read that verse and kind of we'll reduce it to the people that we're close to. If we don't get impatient with them, but if we're merciful and kind to one another in our close friendships, then, you know, there's a testimony in that. And certainly that's true. But Jesus was talking about something far beyond just the way we relate with patience and mercy and kindness within our close friendships and family relationships. He was really saying that people will know that I am God and my leadership is real if others show friendship towards them. If my disciples show friendship, he said love, but put the word friendship. If they are intentional about reaching out to various people, these people will say the God that they know, the God they claim to be motivated by, must be like this because they are friendly to me. Why? Because nobody else is, or many people aren't. Why are they being friendly to me? And the conclusion Jesus said they will come up with is that they are disciples of the God of Israel, of Yeshua, of Jesus, because that's what he's like. He is intentional about showing interest and dignity and value to people who otherwise are not shown that value. Now, what the Lord's really calling us to do in friendship is to partner with him in rescuing lonely, desperate hearts, which is most of the human race. Both believers and unbelievers need to be rescued from the pain and destruction of loneliness. And Jesus is saying to the body of Christ, I want to mobilize you, I want to inspire you to partner with me in restoring believers and in unbelievers, rescuing their lives, because one of the most common things that takes place is that when a person feels lonely and nobody is interested in them, they conclude, it's a wrong conclusion, but they conclude it, if nobody is interested in me, then God must not be interested in me. And the devil exploits the vacuum and the pain that loneliness brings people in and says, God is not interested in you. I mean, and the trajectory is devastating in people's lives. I mean, I think we all understand that we've all have experienced loneliness at different times in our life, and it's painful. And the enemy wants to communicate, God is not interested in you either. So the Lord says, I have a plan. I'm going to mobilize my body in such a way where they are going to see my value and the dignity I have towards other human beings. And they are going to be a conduit, a vessel to communicate that dignity and that value that I have for those people. And those people, even in the house of faith, will say, God must be thinking of me too. I must be important because other people are reaching their hand out and touching me. Now, there's two approaches to friendship, and both of them are kingdom-oriented, and both of them are legitimate. The first type is that we have a friendship with people that we are like. They look like us. They like what we like. And because they like what we like, they like us. And it's really easy to do that. And that's biblical, that's godly, and we all do that. We like people who like the things we like. They have our values. They have the same interests. But Jesus described a different kind of person. The person that doesn't have your values. They don't like the same things you like. They don't look like you. They don't think like you. And Jesus said, I want to mobilize my church to communicate to those people how I feel about them. He said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, he said, if you love only the people who love what you love, if you love only the people who love you, if you love only the people in your little swirl, that's good. But even the sinners do that. It doesn't take supernatural inspiration to do that. But when you love people that are not like you, that don't have the same interests, Jesus is making the point, there's a supernatural dimension and there's a message in it that the people say, what moved you to do this? This is remarkable. The one that leads you and guides you, again, the Lord, he must be real if you're reaching out and touching me in this way. You know, I talked to a leader some years ago. And he was had this growing dynamic ministry. And I said, and he was new to our nation. And I said, well, now that you're here in America, you need to take some time and get to know some other godly men and women in ministry that whether they partner with you in a direct way, but you have friendship with them. And this guy gave an interesting answer. He goes, I don't really think I need that. He says, I have the Holy Spirit. I'm close to him. And God is enough. And I said, well, yeah, technically, that's right. God is enough. But the way God has chosen to communicate to us is directly by the Spirit and indirectly by the Spirit through other people. I said, so you need the type of God ministry that's God with skin on. You need human beings that are reflecting the love of God. He goes, no, I don't need that. I just need the direct Holy Spirit. I says, no, there's a part of you that was made to need God through other people, the embrace of other people, or your heart's going to get in trouble. Anyway, we went on and on about that. I'm going to read another verse or two, and then I'm going to have John, he's going to take and share some things, and we're going to have a few testimonies. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said, if you give a cup of cold water to somebody in my name, then I will reward you. Now again, we can think of that passage of kind of a random act of kindness to a stranger. You know, we go out in society and we just are a random act of kindness, a cup of cold water, and that's undoubtedly communicated in this verse. But there's something more than that. There's intentional acts, small acts of kindness that we show to the people around us. And it's very intentional. I mean, we're very specific about it. And we don't wait for just a big event. What Jesus is saying, even the little acts of kindness, he says, I promise you, I will reward you. I will never forget them, because you're communicating a message about what I'm like to those people and how valuable they are to me. Then in Matthew chapter 25, a very well-known verse, Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, Jesus talks about on the last day when all the nations gather before him, he'll have the believers on the right. He'll say, come to me, you blessed of the Father, and inherit the kingdom. And then he's going to say in verse 35, when I was hungry, you fed me. You know the verse well. But I want to isolate. When I was a stranger, you took me in. When I was a stranger. And then in verse 37, the righteous, the believers go, when did we take you in as a stranger? We've always loved you. You're no stranger to us. Then in verse 47, he goes, when you took in strangers, the very least among you, the very least, they didn't have money, notoriety, they maybe didn't have the social status or the influence or the kind of personality that would garner certain things to happen in their life, but you took them in. Jesus said, when you did that, you took me in. And he blesses them in that day. You know, one of the primary qualifications of a leader in the church, an elder, in 1 Timothy 3, is they must be hospitable. And that means more than having people over for dinner, though it certainly includes that, but it's bigger than only that. It's a perspective. It's a way we carry our heart, that they are hospitable. They're looking out to show kindness and to have a welcoming heart to other people around them. You know, in the New Testament, one of the most, maybe the most repeated exhortation in the New Testament, I haven't actually added it all up exactly, but I think it's true, the most, is the word greet, is the command, greet one another. And there's a whole lot in that commandment. That's not just a small, you know, thing. It's a whole posture. It's a countenance. It's a looking people in the eye, communicating value in little short time frames. And so we want to talk about that, being more intentional. I like how John says it. He goes, if this was easy, we would all be better at it. But this is something that we're intentional about. It's not just the people that are like us and that like what we like and like us. That's easy. But no, we're talking about being very intentional ambassadors, partnering with God to rescue believers and unbelievers from the pain and destruction of loneliness by being a conduit of God's heart. Now, I have a real special situation in my house, is that next door to me is my mother-in-law, Laura Marion. She's in her 70s. She moved here from St. Louis about 7 years ago. When she came in here, I said, Laura, you know, she just came to be a part of the fellowship here and lives next door to us. And I said, you know, we'll introduce you to some people and take a little while to make some friends. She goes, no, it won't. I go, what do you mean? She goes, I know how this works. I know how the kingdom of God works. She started day one, first Sunday. She goes, I'm going to look for people that are lonely. I'm going to go talk to them. I'm not going to wait. I'm going to start now. I go, okay. She did it. And she goes, and at our house, I mean, it's a remarkable thing because, again, she lives next door. I mean, night after night. I mean, not every night, but all the time, 2 and 3 cars over there. And she's got them coming in. She goes, I look for somebody that's nobody's talking to, and I invite them to my home, and I look for people from other nations. And for 7 years, she has done this. And so there's all this traffic coming and going. And we thought, like, wow, I mean, it's cool, but, I mean, it brings a lot of traffic. And then, about 3 years ago, next door to me as well, John Chisholm moves in. He has more people at his house. I mean, you have 10 cars in front of your house. She has 5. And the neighborhood doesn't quite know what's going on, but it's beautiful. I mean, it happens all the time. I mean, all the time. And so I remember just a few months ago, another guy, one of our, moved in our neighborhood, and I went over just to greet him and welcome him to the neighborhood. I knew he moved from Chicago and didn't know anybody. And I said, now, you know, welcome, have you here. I said, this is a friendly neighborhood. He goes, yeah, I know. I know. He goes, those cars are always out there. He goes, well, what's going on? I go, well, it's the two neighbors next to me. I said, they're really like that. I mean, they just, everybody. He goes, wow, that's intense. I go, well, they're involved in that prayer thing down the road. I said, but, and they'll be knocking on your door pretty soon, but they're really nice. I go, they've knocked on my door. I really like them. I've really opened my heart to them. And, you know, I'm having fun with them. I didn't tell him the whole thing, but he put it together pretty soon afterwards. But, John, I just so commend you, the way you and Fran, this hospitable, I mean, I don't know how you have the energy. You do this thing 2 and 3 and 4 nights a week. I mean, it's remarkable. And then my mother-in-law and you two together, and you're not even doing it together. You got two separate groups of people.
Yeah, it's a battle between us about who gets more credit there. If you don't come early, you lose the parking spaces. No, it is remarkable, your mother-in-law, in terms of the constant nature of her reaching out. I mean, you're not overstating it.
And she takes old and young. She don't care if they're 20 or 80. She don't care what nation they're from. She goes, the lonelier they are, the better. I want them in my house.
No, and it really is beautiful. And there is just something about when you are a leader, the ability to pull people into your home, to invite them over, to let them see you and experience you in that dynamic. I understand that it can be, a sweet thing. And so we do it as much as we can. And so we do try and plan those evenings every week. I want to turn us just to Ephesians 4:16 here. Just a really powerful verse that captures an awful lot of what Mike's saying. From him being the Lord, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, and each part does its work. And so that theme of friendship and the theme of function, understanding what is it that God wants you to do? How do you cooperate with him in the unfolding grand plan of history here in terms of he wants a family from every tongue, tribe, people group, and we get to partner with him in that dynamic. And so I play a role in that. And so the call to friendship and the call to function is something the Lord just wants to encourage us with. And I just want to encourage you that it's neat what's happening in the life of our body. There's just, I'm going to bring some testimonies, some folks up here to share testimonies about how much the Lord is doing. But while we celebrate that, there's just a lot more that the Lord's calling us to. We want to reach to be a community that is easy to connect to, where people can belong, where friendship flows between us, and that then we find a place for every single person to function in the body according to the call that's on their life. And so the Lord's just pressing that point.
Well, I'm going to comment on something that how the Lord has used you. Before you came here, what, 3 years ago, you and Fran?
Yeah.
Three, about that. And before that, we had a team that was building friendship groups, and I really appreciate it. We had about 60 of them going, and they were going well, and they'd been for some years. And then you came, worked together with that team, and now we have about 200 friendship groups in our midst. And so the number's grown quite a bit. And nearly 2,000 people, I think you said 1,800 in the early service, but then we're counting the students and the interns as well. So that would be over 2,000 people are in groups. But that leaves about 2,000 people not in groups. And where we're saying is, though we love that we've increased from 60 small groups 3 years ago to 200, we want to see everybody intentionally involved in a group, not just so they can like the people who like what they like. That's cool. I think that's excellent. But as they're there on a mission field, they're going to the group thinking, Father, I'm going to be a conduit to show people how you feel about them. I'm here on a mission. And so thank you. And the district pastors and the zone pastors have about 5 to 7 groups under them. The districts have 5 to 7 zones under them. And it's amazing how this has flourished, John, in the last 3 years. I commend you and all the district pastor team. Thank you.
I appreciate your kind words. It's a privilege to be a part of this community. I do love what the Lord's doing. I'm going to have Annie and Keenan come on up. I'm going to have Dave and Ivy come up. As they're coming, there's just a lot happening in our community. So, I mean, we have a whole section of friendship groups dedicated to moms. And so they gather and they get childcare together and they really come into community. And it's a place for moms to come to. The IHOPU students are doing community. The high school students are doing community. And so there's just connection points. But I just want to have you hear from some of the people who, some of them have been around quite a bit for a while, but just what is going on in their life, what's going on in their heart, what's going on in their friendship group. Take it away, Keenan.
Yeah. So my name's Keenan. It's my wife, Annie. And
I was at your wedding. I loved it. You guys are beautiful. Anyway, go ahead.
We got married a couple years ago, and we actually had what Mike was talking about, this kind of quiet loneliness, feeling like that there wasn't, we want to have a community around us, people in a similar situation. We have lots of friends, but we were wanting to have more people who were in like this newly married stage of life. And so we were bringing this to the Lord, and pretty soon after that, a couple months actually, we were introduced to some friends of ours. Some of you may know George and Katie Dumain, but they had the courage to say, "Hey, would you start a group with us?" And that's not something I would have done myself. I've never done that before, and that'd be pretty nerve-wracking. But what it's really turned into is a number of couples who really spur me on in the Lord, and Annie as well, and to love and good works and encouraging each other and looking for the giftings in each other and encouraging that. And so that's been a real gift to me.
So this started a couple years ago, you jumped into this group?
That's right.
A year and a half ago, and the group has multiplied. The groups have come out of it. Do I have that right?
We now, with one of the other couples, we lead one of the IHOPU friendship groups, and then we have started another group kind of like to reach out to more people. So yeah, we still meet all together every week.
So the group multiplied, so you meet as a separate groups, uh-huh. and yet the groups come together. Uh-huh. So you stay together, yet uh-huh. you're still multiplying.
Yeah, exactly.
And you never would have done it, except for some guy said,
some brave
"Hey,
guy.
Would you do it with me?" And you went,
Right.
But now you're glad you did. Yep.
So glad. So glad.
Yep. And we saw it really practically play out in our lives. I think probably the biggest testimony for me right now on my heart is earlier this year, we're all stepping into familyhood. So we started as newly marrieds, and now everybody's having babies, and it's just growing and growing. So we actually miscarried earlier this spring, and this group became so much more than just a group. They were like family. Like that phrase, the family of God, is so dear to me now, because they walked through with us like as if they were our biological family, and checked in on us, and were the ones grieving with us, and now celebrating with us. We're all celebrating with each other, so it's so good.
I love it.
No, yeah. That's beautiful. I appreciate you sharing that. You never know when you're going to hit a crisis, and that you can do it in the context of relationships and context of family. It's just huge, all right? And so please, come on forward. Go ahead.
These guys are great.
They are good.
Ivy and Dave. Now, I first met Ivy a couple years ago, and I was blown away, maybe 3-4 years ago, in one of the small group times we were talking, and I was so surprised by how many people your small group was reaching out to and leading to the Lord. And so then a year or two goes by, and I checked in again. I thought she's still doing it. And I've asked the district pastors about you on several occasions, and they're still doing it. They're reaching out. And now your group has multiplied 11 times over the last number of years, and putting together all the numbers. And it's a remarkable thing. So you meet in separate, but you still got a larger thing together. Tell us a little bit about what's happened. A few stories. I mean, you got 100, but tell us 2 or 3 of them.
Well, we love our friendship group family. Actually, you can find us around the sanctuary wearing our Zone t-shirts.
Wait, that's a Zone t-shirt?
Yes.
What's it say? Stir up? John, do you got a Zone t-shirt?
I'm missing that.
Okay, we'll get you one.
But it's great advertisement that you know which that group they have a sense of belonging together. You can tell by their t-shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, you could tell where I live by all the cars in front of his house. You don't need a t-shirt.
Yeah, so our zone is called Acts 29, and we've just really enjoyed learning how to become a family on mission. And Mike was talking about some of the multiplications that have happened. Our primary group is a young adult group, and we just have a mix of students and people in the marketplace. But out of that group, we had a young Hispanic gal attend, and she said, you know, we would love to have a group in Spanish. And I said, absolutely. Vamos a tener un grupo de personas que hablen en español.
Say that a little bit slower. She came to you and said, we want our group in Spanish, but your group didn't speak Spanish.
Right. So we actually started a Hispanic group from our original group and really asked the Lord that we could be missionaries in our own backyard. There's 300,000 Hispanics in Kansas City. And so we just began
300,000 in Kansas City.
Yeah. We began to just pray and dream with the Lord that we could begin to touch some of those families. So one year for Valentine's, we decided to serenade some of our Hispanic neighbors and deliver a David Lugo CD. Love David Lugo.
Wait, how do you serenade a neighborhood? I mean, what does this look like?
It's kind of like Christmas caroling. You just go house to house, and we kind of had...
like with a worship team type?
Yeah, we actually did that.
So you go by, you knock on the door, and you sing...
Yep. And it's very much a part of Hispanic culture with the mariachis. We picked a couple worship songs we were going to do. We just wanted to sing a blessing of the Lord over
their
house.
Down the street?
No, we knocked on the door.
And so then you asked them, can we pray for you? But did they say yes? I mean, do you?
Absolutely. Hispanics are very hospitable. So it was just an amazing blessing to be able to meet our neighbors and bless them with a worship CD. But out of that experience, we met a young girl that began coming regularly to the group. Her mom came, her brothers have come in, and she began to bring friends over to our house, and we got to pray with a particular young man named Johnny and see the Lord really take him out of a time of really dark depression and have him be encountered by the love of Jesus. And recently, I actually got to talk on the phone with his mom and pray with her, as well as his uncle. So the Lord's really continued to touch that family. So we just pray and ask the Holy Spirit for different creative ideas. We've done prophetic arts in the park.
Arts in the parks.
Yeah.
So what's that look like? Are you saying, like poems to each other or do little skits? Or what do you do in the park?
We do spoken word worship. We do prophetic arts table, things like that, original songs. But we really love the fact that the Lord is giving us an opportunity to be intentional about how we love our neighbors.
Wait. So you're in the park. I got to get this. So you're in the park. First, you're serenading the neighborhood, so you've done that a couple times. So now you're in the park, and you're doing things, and the people in the park, they look at you and go, who are you? What are you guys? What's going on here?
Yeah, we actually invite them to have supper with us. We go and we hand out cookies, and then we have the arts table and the worship. And so it's very
much
like...
This is your friendship group.
Yes, it's becoming really the church without walls, allowing people to come and have friendship group with us in the park. But one of my favorite stories is really...
Wait. So what do? They come, they eat the cookie, they see the skit, they sit down, they go, what are you guys about? Why? And you witness to them? Do you have a public witnessing or one-on-one?
No, we try to be really relational and just get to know them, sit around the table, break bread together. We tell them a little bit about our group and really just be sensitive to where they're at in the Lord, what the Holy Spirit is doing. We may pray for healing. We may just talk about their family. We offer prayer. But just whatever the Holy Spirit seems to be highlighting, and there's story after story. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be loading different testimonies onto our YouTube channel. So if you'd like to hear some more stories, you can email me at mamaivy.love.
Wait. Mama Ivy, because your name's Ivy. Yep. Mama Ivy.
Mamaivy.love.
I like it, Mama Ivy.
At gmail.com. But I think my favorite story I love to share is this last Christmas, we partnered with a campus ministry, and we were able to host about 40 students from different campuses into our home for Christmas for an evangelistic friendship evangelism basically through hospitality. So people that we know from the marketplace, fellow students on campus, and really inviting...
You mean the 9 campuses in Kansas City, you just connected with a few. You invited unbelieving students just who didn't know anything about you to your house.
Right.
Your friendship group did.
Yes, and they got an opportunity to hear about the greatest gift that was ever given and had an opportunity to pray at the end of a 5-minute non-threatening presentation of what Jesus has done in giving us his greatest gift. But we were able to host 40 guests, so a total of 60 people gathered in our living room, family room, and basement over Christmas.
That's John Chisholm-ish.
Yeah, but it's really about taking an opportunity as a friendship group family to cultivate our spiritual gifts together in a really prophetic environment so that each person is learning to flow as the body of Christ and then out of that place just begin to seek God's heart for what our particular group can do to really befriend people. It's really about building friendship.
So do I have it right that your group has multiplied 11? That's what someone told me backstage.
You know, I'm not sure.
Yeah, they
about
said
the
that's 11. That's what they told me. Anyway.
Could be, you know, but who counts hugs and children?
It's probably true because one of the gentlemen who actually lived with us is now has a group in Chicago. It's in Middle Eastern.
They're reaching Middle Eastern refugees. And so there was Chicago, Guatemala, Colombia, India,
Botswana,
and I don't know.
So, Dave, give us a testimony.
Just quick.
You guys have been married almost 25 years.
Yep, 24 years. And we started when we were young. We had a group when we were newly married in our home. We didn't know what it was supposed to look like.
You've never stopped. You've been doing it ever since.
Family. It's all about becoming family because you welcome people into your home, and I think that's really important. Into your home, and they're like family. You love them, and they become part of you. One of the young ladies that was part of our group was actually Ivy's hairdresser, and I think she was saved, but didn't have friendship. She came into our home, part of our group for several years, and then we sent her on missions. She went out for our group on a missions trip to India.
Yeah, she led our first team of 4 people that went out to India together.
Yeah, and actually was there and then went back a year later just by herself with this group and actually met her husband, came back, and as a part of our friendship group, gathered around her and really showed her the love and actually just helping and serving her at her wedding. It was beautiful.
Well, what a story. You got hundreds of stories. I've heard many of them. I mean, what friendship group is in the park, serenading neighborhoods, going on mission trips as a friendship group? Remarkable. Thank you for the way you love. John, this is amazing how many stories like this are happening.
If you get a chance, you could talk with Ivy. I mean, they have lots more. And the
Mama
whole dynamic.
Ivy, I like that.
They're going. They're evangelizing, they're reaching out to their neighbors, but I don't know any group that does as well of a job about the whole sense of belonging. Like a lot of times say, hey, if you're, you know, adding new people, then you're not going to have this sense of belonging. It is remarkable how well they do in that. All right, and so I just want to share just a couple more here in terms of just, I got a letter from somebody that I thought would encourage you. This is from Nancy and Mickey Walker. They've been attending since 1991. And they said they had lots of casual acquaintances, but never really had deep friendships. When you attend a church as massive as FCF, it's hard to make friends. Even if you do have friends, you rarely see them because people go to different services. When we decided to attend a friendship group, we contacted Dave Meisner. His group was just starting, was close to our area. Over the last 2 years, we've become the family. We love the people in our group, value their friendship. Our lives have been enriched by the fellowship of other believers. We've had family challenges in the last year, and the group has helped us pray through. I would encourage anyone to join a friendship group. So somebody been around since 91, but something shifted when 2 years ago they started attending a friendship group. And so the whole dynamic of belonging.
So attending a services for 20 years, never getting in a small group, and then 2 years ago they say, hey, you know, let's just break down and do this, because we've had the small groups for many years. And so now they're feel connected in a family. Not only are people investing in them, they're investing in other people in a way they never had before.
Just the way it's supposed to work. And so that's the exhortation today, is that you be thinking about that. Not only that you would find a place to belong, a place where you could reach out, offer that cup of water to others, but also this issue of partnering with the Lord and what he's doing, the whole thing about function. I just want to share some of the stories about what's happening between the friendship groups and the Grandview schools. You've heard us talk a little bit about it, but there's just lots of different connection points where either an individual or a group together hear from the Lord about doing something. Hiram Schreer's right here in the back or whatever. He has a heart, goes to one of the junior high and says, I'd like to start a chess club in the junior high. Well, two kids come and that sounds like a good idea. They start going. Today, 20 of the junior high students meet on a regular basis in the context of a chess club in which he can just be an encourager and relate to them and connect with them, all right?
So Hiram goes to the school, the junior high, and says, I want to start a chess club. And the leadership goes, what? Okay, and so now 20 kids are coming, and one of the teachers said, he's like a rock star in our junior high. Here he comes walking, coming in there. Amazing that the Lord gave you this little hint, this little idea, and you followed through on it. Good job, Hiram.
They're incredibly appreciative. That's neat. All right, so one of the zones in relationship with one of the schools, Grandview Schools, they have a council for all 9 schools. And we have a representative from this community on every single one of those councils. And the council is just to try and help and get support for what's happening in the school. So one of the relationships is really strong. The teacher, the principal of that school, just went and said, listen, I would like to do something to just appreciate all the employees, all the teachers and the staff for the school. They have 70 teachers. So the zone got together, all working together. And here's what they did. They did an appreciation lunch, and so they pulled all the resources to do that. They collected some money, got a $10 gift card for all 70 of the employees. They got the list of all the names, gave it to the prophetic teams. The prophetic teams prayed over the names, came back with a written letter to each one of the 70. And during the time of the meal, a couple of our worship leaders came over and did background music. And the principal was just beyond belief, just blown away about the love and the kindness that was expressed to their teachers, okay?
Wait, this is too good.
It is good.
It's good. Wait, I got to say it again. So 70 of the school on the faculty and staff, whatever. So the principal comes to
middle
who?
School.
One of our zone pastors.
One of our zone pastors. I mean, there's a person on the council, makes the connection with the principal. The relationship is building because there's so many things happen. I can't give them all to you.
And so the zone has about 7 small groups. So all 7 groups said, let's do it together. Have a lunch for them. Prophesy over them. Give them a little gift certificate. Play music over them. Pray over them. And these 70 come in and go like, what meaneth thou this?
That's right. And the principal is the one just going like, so thankful. I mean, the job of a principal is not easy. The ability to just thank their teachers and their staff like that meant an awful lot to her. And what ends up coming out of all that, I got a whole bunch more stories, I can't give them all to you, is we've just received a plaque.
Here's a plaque. I guess I'll put it up on the screen there. There you go.
It's from the school district to the FCF community, just giving us an award for all that we've done to support
them. It says
them
Community Partner Award to Forerunner Christian Fellowship, acknowledgement of da 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 da. Thank you. Good job. So can I put this in my office?
You sure can.
Maybe I'll hang it on my living room. I don't know if my wife will let me, but I'm going to see what I can do.
I got a lot more stories for you. The point about friendship and function, partnering with what the Lord's doing. The Lord is really breathing on, strengthening us as a community, us learning how to relate well. Again, we say it and it sounds simple, but friendship, it isn't easy, or would be better at it, all right? There's a simplicity to it, but it's not easy. But it's going to take the grace of God for us to be who he's called us to be, to let people in that we don't know well, to make the risk of sharing your heart in a context where you don't know those people well. But the fruit and the beauty of what comes out of it, that I have a place that I belong and that I can be encouraged and strengthened in. And then from that place of relationship, we cooperate with what God's doing in our city. And it is profound what he's doing, but we just have a long way further to go. Like I said, our guess is we think about half the people that call this place home are inside of a friendship group. We think we can increase that.
So 2,000 are in it and 2,000 aren't, but we want everyone involved, functioning, connected, sowing into people. Jesus said, when I was a stranger, you took me in. I mean, that That's strong amen. Language. Amen, you took amen. Me in when you did not know me.
Amen, amen. And so we're just drawing attention to that. So we're having a friendship group fair. We on this wall, you'll see the balloons and the banners. And so what type of group would you like to be a part of if you happen to have not been to one? All right, and so if you'd like to be with a young adult group, if you'd like to be with a cross-generational group, if you'd like to be with parents, if you'd like to be with singles, if you'd like to be with young families, all right, if you're a high school student, whatever the case, we have different types of groups. We would love to help connect you to that. There'll be people over there that you could come, leave your email address. Somebody will follow up, give you a couple of options. Maybe you go test a couple of them. In terms of just go and see what it's like, and just maybe you will find a landing place that you can jump in with what the Lord's doing in our midst to just strengthen us as a community. I want to just take a moment in that one of the beautiful things is this role of zone pastor who's overseeing the 3, 5, 7 friendship group leaders, trying to keep them connected, encouraging them. Almost all the zone pastors have either full-time roles on staff or are full-time in the marketplace, and it's a pretty significant role, and we have about 35 zone pastors. If you happen to be a zone pastor...
35 zone pastors that have 5 to 7 groups-ish under them.
Yeah, somewhere between 3 and 7. If you happen to be a zone pastor, I'm just going to ask that you stand up for a minute. Some of them are already standing over here, but yeah, let's give them a round. We appreciate what they do and why they do it.
Thank you, Zone
Thank
pastors.
You so much.
I mean, you're real pastors in the body here.
Real pastors in the body. And are part of the reason that the system works well. And then if you happen to be a friendship group leader, I'm just going to ask that you stand up. I just want to acknowledge the role you play.
Anybody that's a friendship group
Anybody that's
leader.
A friendship group leader.
Or an
leader.
Assistant leader. Anybody in the room here.
Again, it is beautiful. It's beautiful what the Lord's doing. But we need more. I want to encourage you even. You heard the testimony of Keenan, you know, someone coming up and saying, hey, would you help me do this? Would you do this with me? He wasn't thinking when he woke up that day that, hey, this is what I want to do is be a friendship group leader. But we need more. We need more friendship group leaders. We need more. A lot of the groups are so large, they're full. All right. And so having places where new folks can land and where we can launch things. And so I just want to encourage you. Next Saturday, we're doing a friendship group leader training. If that's something you might be interested in, next Saturday at IHOP U.
Is it in the bulletin?
It missed the bulletin. Sorry about that.
Oh. IHOP U next Saturday, where?
In room, I think it's 105.
Yeah,
but
105.
When you show up, we'll point you in the right place. Okay, and so just, you could email me if you need times and places, but we'd love you to consider that. Would love you to just to come up
Wait,
to one
I'm
of the district
again,
pastors, please.
Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, at IHOP U, training to be a friendship group leader, or if you're interested in it, come and see what it's about. And if you know you're interested in it, there's going to be training there.
Yeah, taste and see. We'll be gathering all of our friendship group leaders for the training.
Does it go 3 hours, and 9 to 12?
Not even quite. We'll hope to get you out of there by 11.
Okay, 11:15.
So just pray about that. Encourage you to do it. But what we're going to do is we're going to not so much have the worship team come up and all that. What we're going to do is we're going to bring the district pastors to the front and some of the zone pastors. And then other zone pastors and friendship group leaders are going to be that along that wall. If you would like to talk to somebody, I mean, even if it's just a pastoral thing, you want somebody to pray for you, that would be great. If you had a question about anything related to friendship groups, that would be great.
So wait, district pastors, go ahead and come on up, and zone pastors, just come stand up here. And the other leaders, go back to those things. And again, we're not having the worship team like we normally have. We just want to be and talk to you because this is our friendship group fair. That's why we have the balloons. But continue on that. I wanted to get them.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you restating. That's excellent. So I'm just going to ask that you stand up. You can come forward. You can come to the side, wherever. I'm going to pray over you, but let's go ahead and stand up. I'm just going to pray a Lord's blessing upon you. And then after I bless you, if you'd like to come forward to talk to somebody, please do that.
And you'll be down here as
I'm
well.
I'm going to be down
and
here.
I'll be down
and
here.
You're going to be down here?
Yes.
Here, let me just pray over you. Lord, we do first just want to lift your name. We want to thank you as the author, as the source of community, as the source of friendship. We thank you for all that you're doing in the life of this body, Lord. And we just pray for more. Lord, strengthen us as a community. Help us. Lord, I ask your blessing to be upon each one. Go with them. Bless them in the power of your name. All God's people said.
Amen. So go ahead and we'll go back there. If you want to find out about our group, come up, talk to us, or just mill around.